Can you please introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Marilyn Seitz, and I've been the manager of the Penny Workshop for, I lost count, over 10 years. It's been a while. Before that, I was a teacher for the Grace Episcopal Day School, which is, the Penny Workshop is owned by the Grace Episcopal Church up on Georgia Avenue at 16th Street. And the Penny Workshop itself just celebrated its 61st birthday on Valentine's Day. And it was started by a group of women in the late 50s, if you do the math quickly, and they saw a need of people in poor communities. And so they took some of their clothes that they had outgrown or something, their children had outgrown, put it in the back of the trunk of the car, and drove around into poor neighborhoods and sold them out of the back of the car for 50 cents a dollar. And some I'm sure they gave away. And so this ministry grew, and now 61 years later, we're in 949 Bonifant Street, downtown Silver Spring. This is our fifth or sixth location. We've always tried to stay in this area. This is Fenton Village. It's a little bit more community, low-rise environment. And so our shops have been in the basement of townhouses. They were commercial townhouses, but not residential. And but all of them within about three blocks of where we are now. And we moved to this location 2 years ago, and it was a black box. It was, the history of it is it was a some kind of research lab for a while. And in the back, we have a huge maze of wires that I never intend to touch or move for fear of what's going on here. And then it was used for a hardware store for quite a while. About 30 years ago, when I first moved here, it was a hardware store. And then it was a thrift shop. And this woman was from the Middle East, Goshen, just a delightful woman. She ran it all by herself and for quite a few years, but it was very dark and had lots of different rooms in it. It was all divided up. It was kind of a little scary to go into. And in fact, I'm not scared of too many things, but I didn't go in there too often. So anyway, she became ill and went back to her country. And then it was used for a black box theater, Bonifant Theater. And this area that we were sitting in was where the actors would wait until they went out on the stage, which was a big platform out there. Everything was painted black. The ceiling, the walls, the windows. These front display windows we put in, but they were small windows to match the windows that are next door in the karate, taekwondos. So it was really a mess. But I just had a feeling that Goshen wanted us to be in here, and her spirit was with us to guide us, and we got this place turned over in 3 weeks. And it was all volunteer work. There was a concrete floor out in the main section that was really a mess. We cleaned everything out of here. One person, Jay Dayhill, said, give me 3 days and give it to me by myself and I will paint everything. So he did three coats of paint, a primer on the first, the white, and then admitted that his back was having difficulty getting that high because our ceilings are probably 15 feet high. And so he painted one coat of the white primer, and then the rest of it we brought it down a little bit to save his back. And he got it all painted, and then we came in here with slat wall. Our husbands and some of the men of the church put up slat wall, took the slat wall down from our old place, moved it in here. Everything, pretty much everything was recycled except the paint. We did buy new paint. And we did buy new carpeting. And I found the carpeting. One of our workers, volunteers, said that she went to school with some man who has a carpet dealer, and so I should go talk to him. And they went to Catholic school together. So luckily I went to Catholic school, and we got, at first he wasn't going to give me any kind of a deal, and we got talking about the uniqueness about a Catholic grade school, and start laughing, and all of a sudden in the middle, and I told God, I said, hey, look, God, if you want me to move out, I got to get this carpeting on the floor, and this is Thursday, and we're opening on Tuesday. So anyway, in the middle of the conversation, I'll be doggone if he says, you know, I can give you some carpeting. It was, I don't know how many rolls. The carpeting's probably about 1,500 square feet of carpeting for a really good price. And so this is getting to be 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I wanted it as soon as possible. So I said, okay, here's the money, here's the check. Could someone deliver it? And he said, well, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the beltway. And I go, that's right, we'll do it. So he put it in the truck, and it was sticking out the back, and I was following behind him, again praying, okay, God, you want me to do this, you got to get us to the store. So we got to the store, and I thought, you know, I hadn't really thought this out too well. So I thought, we'd just bring it in the back door. So we had it sticking out in the back room, but I didn't realize that big of a roll of carpeting, which was, must have been circumference, I mean, from the top to the bottom. It was probably, in the roll, it was probably a 3-foot, 4-foot thing, and it wouldn't bend. So we couldn't get it through the back section of our store. So again, I started praying and said, okay, I got to figure out who could help me. So I remembered a neighbor's son's college and teenage sons were home, so I called her up and I said, oh, Karen, could you please, she's an activist in the area too, Karen Lee, and I said, could you possibly use your van and your boys and help me move this carpeting? I put it in the wrong door. So we scootered around on a little scooter in the back of, with her sticking out the back of the car, brought it around, blocked the traffic on Bonifant, and brought it in the front door. And then the next day, we got a lot of volunteers to do this. And some of them were college students from Montgomery College. Lucy Vitale, who's the dean of students or something, she sends us kids that need service hours. And it was the end of the semester, so some of these kids were really hungry to get their service hours done. So anyway, I taught these kids. My husband showed me how to lay the carpeting. We rolled it out. A friend of mine, a fellow teacher, his partner helped me roll it out, and we glued it on, cut it up, and got it laid. And then the college students came in, and they painted some of the back walls. And some young guys, I said, you know, have you ever laid carpeting? And they said, of course not. I said, well, you're going to learn how to lay carpeting, and you're going to have to turn it over, and it's cut out a pattern and everything like this, because there's a hole in the middle with a pipe back there. So it wasn't. We had the front all done, but the back needed, might as well use the rest of the carpeting. So it was the college kids from Montgomery College that painted a lot of the rooms in the back where we have our storage and also laid some carpeting. And so anyway, in 3 weeks, we were able to get this completely changed over from what it was and pretty much the way it is now. And the volunteers were all volunteers. No one gets paid. I work a lot of hours.
In fact, she works incredible hours. She's got incredible energy.
Well, it's fun. I really enjoy it. If I didn't enjoy it, I think if all of us, if we didn't enjoy it, we really wouldn't.
Yeah. I was looking at some papers of the history of the shop and all, and what several people have said, and that's what Paul Brown said too in his blog, is that it creates a community here, a community among the volunteers, but a community with the workers and the customers, and you get to know people, you know, their idiosyncrasy.
And their backgrounds. Leslie Rogers, can I say,
sure,
is the editor, or was the editor of National Geographic, and so she
managing
retired.
Managing
editor of National Geographic, and so when I heard she was retiring, last January, I said, oh, so now poor Leslie is
and you know what this has given me that I didn't have at the Geographic, where I went to an office and I knew I was doing something worthwhile, but I didn't have any direct contact with readers, members. And here you've got the direct contact, mm-hmm. And you do get to know people's histories and what they're doing. And
they almost become friendly, family. I mean, you... You feel for some of these people and, you know, people who's have problems and things like that.
There was a young man who comes in regularly, and he wanted to buy a book a week or so ago on Zen meditation, and he only had plastic, and we don't take plastic. The book was 50 cents, so I said, here, I'll pay the 50 cents for the book, and you can pay me back if you see me. But anybody who wants a book on Zen meditation deserves to have it. So it was just fun. Yeah.
That's great.
I interrupted you. No. Great. Thanks. So, as I said, we probably have about 80 volunteers. Some of them don't work in the shop. Some of them are kind of like Susan Reed. She set up this library, and someone told me, do you know your books are... the nonfiction and fiction are by author, by alphabet. I'm going, oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. So she, you know, they really do a fantastic job. Right now she's kind of on a unpaid sick leave, so we're hoping that she'll be feeling better and come back. Of course, like I said, nobody gets paid. But, you know, there's just really labors of love. I mean, to put all these books in an alphabetical order is more than I could imagine doing. But, anyway, all of our things that we have in the shop are donations, and we ask for clean, gently used clothing, small household items that are working, and obviously books, shoes, tapes. So everything, nothing is bought except, I don't know what around here was bought. Even our display cases, a lot of them people donated or we found or something like that, or we got at resale shops. Most of the items, average price, if you take the average price, is about $3. And last year we sold over 80. I taught second grade and getting thousands and $84,000 worth of items.
Wow.
So that's a lot of stuff that comes in and goes out. We have to, sometimes we get things that we can't use if there's lost buttons or something like that, or torn, or really dirty, we can't use. We do, everything that we can't use goes someplace. A lot of our children's clothes, bedding, things like that that are really good, sell toys, we give to Wider Circle. And we've been very active with Wider Circle. In fact, some of us even went to the latest fundraiser downtown. Mm. And hopefully one of these days we paid for a couple days of our shop being put on the truck. That was kind of a way to get donations to Wider Circle. So a lot of things go there. Our shoes that we can't use goes to this man who ships them to Africa. Obviously, he doesn't take winter boots and things like that. Books, some of them go to Wider Circle. Some of them go to the Wheaton Friends of the Library. I would say 2% of our stuff has to be pitched. I mean, if it's something dangerous or broken or something like that, we do have to pitch some things. And toys, we try to make sure that they are compliant with the safety, I forgot what the name of it was, it's a government agency for child safety, I'll think of the name. They came in a couple of years ago with a big ruling which really affected a lot of resale shops, in that we can't sell anything that's on the recall list. Hmm. Well, we get things, toys and stuff like that, that are not boxed up. And so we get one of everything. It's not like as if we're getting a shipment of things. So it's an impossible thing for the people. Consumer Protection Agency and their office is over on East West Highway, and so I was a close victim. And so they came and filmed a training video with us, and I talked with one of the people, their spokesperson on NPR, was interviewed, and that was really interesting because I kept saying, you know, we're the end of the food chain here. You should control this at the design end and not let them use a lead paint. So like books that are printed before 1950 or something like that, they have lead paint. So we supposedly go through every one of our books to check the date of when it was printed. That's an impossible thing for people to do. And unfortunately, and the penalty was quite large. And so some thrift shops went out of business. Not saying that the thrift shops around here that went out of business went out for that purpose. I don't know why they went out. Sometimes it's a lack of volunteers. Luckily, I have a great crew of volunteers, and a lot of them are from the church, a lot of them from the neighborhood. Some of our farmer customers volunteer. So, you know, we can always use volunteers. But, you know, it's not easy staying open. You really need a lot of people to do the work. I figured one year our church decided we should figure out our volunteer hours, and I figured it takes about 8,000 volunteer hours a year to run this, because so many hours we have. Used to know all the hours, 22 hours a week or something like that. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4, and we have two volunteers a day at least work a shift, so that's two shifts. That's 88 volunteers right there, times how many days we're open. I figured that out. That was interesting. Right now, we're trying to upgrade our image a little bit, making sure that we're writing a with Leslie as her editing expertise. She's helping us write a business plan, so we're trying to get a little bit more professional, as professional as a thrift store could be, and a bunch of volunteers that don't get paid. So I can't fire someone if they're goofing off, mm-hmm. which I wouldn't do anyway. But it's a labor of love for all of us. We enjoy seeing the people. I mean, the stories that we have, one of our vestry people, who's the governing board of the church, wrote a blog for the Episcopal Diocese and talked about some of the stories that he experienced and people that he experienced. And every year I have to give a report to the church, and I have another story of, you know, how we've helped people. And sometimes we've even been able to give job references. I had a Montgomery County student here the other day working, and he was just fantastic, really sharp. And I said, you know, if you ever need a reference, Pennyworth is not a big industry, but, you know, since it's all volunteer, and you do such a good job. And this kid's that laid the carpeting and stuff like that, I said, hey, I can give you a reference for carpet laying. They never asked for that, though. But it's a very dynamic store, and the people are wonderful customers and wonderful people to work with, too. So, do you have any questions?
I do have more okay. questions. Yeah, okay. That was great, though. Okay. There's a lot that came out of that. If somebody is interested in volunteering, how would they go about doing that?
Okay, usually they can just give their name to the person at the front desk, and I get it. I used to do the scheduling, but now I have another person that does the scheduling. We do it by computer, but some people don't have computers, so they have a regular set date that they work or something like that, or by telephone. So, yes, we do encourage volunteers, and we work with them. We don't have formal training or anything like that. You just kind of learn as you're doing, and mm-hmm. sometimes the customers know our merchandise better than we do. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. This is kind of segueing into a kind of different category of conversation, but how did you end up in Silver Spring?
My husband's job. We lived here in the early 70s, and he worked at Carnegie Lab. He's a scientist, And so we lived over in Summit Hill, and downtown Silver Spring was very dynamic at that time. And then we moved to, we lived here for about 10 years. We bought a house and as a young couple, and then he got transferred to Chicago. And we lived there for 10 years, came back when our children were already born, and moved back to Silver Spring because I love the area. And I've been politically active or civically active, and my husband's civically active. He was
Thank
on the committee
for
the Mega Mall, which had a lot of split families because some of us were very much against the Mega Mall. And he, since he got all the I wouldn't say, he got all the information, we'll say, from the county. He was for it. Luckily, it failed. I mean, no, you shouldn't say it failed, but the investors had money problems, and they so they didn't invest. I think that would have been a shame to put something so huge and so a wave pool when you have the ocean 2 hours away is crazy. So anyway, we just really love the town. And I was for 7 years on the Silver Spring Citizens Advisory Board. And so I learned a lot about commercial economic development because I was on that subcommittee. And I really enjoyed that. But both very active in Dewey Beach. My husband was a commissioner for 6 years, and that was interesting. We have a different – I hate to take out insurance for that, for personal liability insurance, because you're a commissioner in Dewey Beach, you've got the bars against you, and they tend to sue you a lot. And he had 6 lawsuits against him as a commissioner. So anyway, this is so much more relaxed, less tension than in Dewey. And, you know, we have our concerns and, you know, the what's going to happen with the Purple Line. Personally, I think that that's a whole other story, but it's going to go right down, right in front of our store. They were saying 2020, now they're saying 2015. It would be interesting if they even made it by 2025. So that might change some of the dynamics here. I know it's going to really impact our parking, and that's what we're all concerned about. And also, a lot of the people walk here, and and some people drive, but the walking is a little concern. I don't like all the wires that we have, our electrical wires, and we're trying to get rid of electrical wires in the street, and now we're putting up more electrical wires. I think we could have had a rapid bus faster than we have a rapid Purple Line. So, but that's aside. But that's things that are going to affect us.
Sure.
Bonifant is a very active street, and Susan of the hair salon up there has gotten us together, and the younger generation, I'm of the older generation, and retired, and so it's been great to get everybody together, to work together, to try and keep Bonifant a very active street, no matter whether we get a Purple Line or what happens. So, and we've talked with Roberto from the regional center about things that we can do. And we've Susan has put out a nice card that we passed up last year, passed out just to get people aware of this street.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've stood on the corner. We're open on the first Friday of the month with from like April to when we have daylight saving time. We're open from all day from 10 to 8 o'clock at night. And I've gone out on the corner of George Avenue, not in the street, but flipping a sign saying coming to Pennyworth. So that got people aware that Pennyworth is back here.
Mm-hmm.
People don't often see us. We are sometimes surprised that people have lived here for a long time and never heard about us. We don't spend a lot of money advertising, which we probably should do. Most of our money, all of our money goes to the church, Grace Episcopal Church ministries. We take, none of us are paid, like I said before, 10% goes to outreach, national outreach, Heifer Project, Habitat for Humanity, the local fire department volunteer and things like that. So we have a whole list of things that we, organizations that we give to. So we're, I've tried to be active with Impact Silver Spring, which I think is a fantastic organization. In fact, one of the heads is an active parishioner of the church. So.
Great. How about since you've been here in Silver Spring, how have you seen it change?
Oh, it's gotten so much better, so much more vibrant. Maybe because I was on the advisory board when they were planning and executing finally the downtown Ellsworth Mall. And the civic building and the plaza are fantastic. My only complaint was that I decided I would try the ice skating rink out. I hadn't ice skated for years. I'm past the age when I really should have done it and fell flat on my face. So unfortunately, I wish I could do ice skating like I thought I could do before. But, you know, the place is fantastic with all the fairs and all the events that go on and the markets on Saturdays, the farmer markets and the sales markets that are in the square. Fantastic.
Yeah. Great. What do you love about Silver Spring?
The people. The people are just so nice, and the homeless would they come into the shop, and we help them out a bit. And if I'm coming from a meeting when I was on the advisory board at 9 o'clock at night, and sometimes I'd park over here, they would be very nice about escorting me to my car. Mm-hmm. So it's just is a very diverse community, and that's what I love about it.
Okay. What do you dislike about Silver Spring?
The parking's difficult, but, you know, you can't have a lot of people, and, you know, I wish we had some more parking. Of course, we have the parking garages, and we could use those. What don't I like? I guess the uncertainty and the long, I know what I have, a big gripe, is that transit center. And I mentioned it to a woman that I met on the metro one day, and she was one of the designers. And I said, why didn't you take down the fence and let people and put some walkways so that people can go directly to the metro? Rather than everyone has to walk all the way around the grassed-in fenced area. Now, I heard that Civic, the regional advisory group, has requested that be opened for parkland. And that this woman from Metro said, oh, well, it's a safety issue. And I said, but you can put the fence near where the safety problem is, where the reconstruction has to be. I mean, I feel very bad that that's been so delayed. And that is just a... very uncomfortable and very difficult for people to have to walk so far around, particularly since this winter was so cold and with all this ice. I guess that's the biggest gripe. Other than that, I live up in Woodside Park. My husband was chairman of the Woodside Park Civic Association. I took my turn. I think everybody should be civically active. And I think this is one way to pay back. It keeps these things out of the trash cans and gives them a second life, all the things that we sell in the store. Everything I have on except my shoes, I think were from Pennyworth. I really don't go shopping very much anymore,
sure.
Other than at Pennyworth or other resale shops. I do go to other resale shops.
Great. You may have alluded to some of this, but what would make Silver Spring better?
Better. Somehow do something with the traffic. And I think more rapid transit would be it. I don't think putting the rails in the ground. As a little girl, I remember getting my foot caught in a rail and being scared that I was going to be run over by a trolley at that time. So I think we do need some rapid transit. I think that the circulator buses that are down in D.C. do a great job. I am intimidated with buses because I don't know what J4 and J2 mean. My son, the first time he took the bus, got on the wrong bus and ended up in way over in Prince George's County, and he finally went up to the bus driver and told him he was lost, and the guy said, "We'll just stay in the bus till you recognize someplace." So I wish we had better transportation, and I'm looking forward to the new library. I think that's a big addition. We've had a very small library for children's programs, which I know as a grandparent, I take my grandchildren to their programs. They're fantastic. It would be nice if they had more space in the children's book area for something like that. I think the regional center is doing a great job. And here's one of our wrigglers. So I don't have any other things that I could see. I guess, no, that would be it.
Okay. How about when you go out in Silver Spring, where would somebody typically find you?
A lot of the little restaurants. I love the little crepe place. Oh, that is just
Fenton Cafe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I take people that come in from out of town. You don't expect a little crepe place to be in there. And you can have, as she calls it, savory dinner type crepes, or like I like the chocolate and the strawberry dessert crepes. But they have a cafe. I was in the, with my husband and some friends, in the very farthest northest section of Newfoundland. As far as you could get north, and still be in Newfoundland, and still be on land. And it was just a little bed and breakfast with kind of a little cafe there. And we were sitting there with two tables there. And these people next to us were talking about Keva Cafe. And my husband looked at me and goes, "No, Marilyn." I said, "Yes." So I said, "Hey, anybody a chance from Silver Spring?" And they were. And the guy beat me back. He says, "You won't believe." But, you know, Keva Cafe is just the soul of the community. I mean, we've had so many meetings there. You know, if we didn't have this place, that would be where we would go to have a meeting. And mothers go there with kids and to meet other mothers. And so that's a heart and soul.
Great. How about hidden gems in Silver Spring?
Well, the Cafe Cafe, the crepe place, Pennyworth, obviously, and the bookstore across the street. I go for my book club books. If I can't find them here, which I sometimes, particularly with Suzanne not doing this alphabetical order, they know their books. It's like going to a library there. So when we moved a little closer to them, I didn't want them to think that we would be in competition. There's no way could we be in competition with a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you ask for an author and they know whether they have it or not.
Hmm.
Let's see, downtown Silver Spring. There's lots of places.
Are there any other questions that I didn't ask that are important that should be asked, or is there anything that should be said about Pennyworth or baby? Silver Spring or you? Or?
No, we cover pretty much everything. We did have some problems with parking here and being ticketed immediately. You know, your time would run out and the guy would be standing there almost like. My husband gave me 2 tickets a year as a volunteer here. Jokingly, he said no more than 2 because I would sometimes get tickets. And now we appreciate the county pull back a little bit on us to make it a little bit more friendly. That was so disheartening to see our workers in here and they come back and they go, "I just got a ticket," you know, or I... someone was this older lady, she stooped over with arthritis and she would give donations and she pulled up and we were helping unload her car, and as soon as we were both in there, I had her stay in here and we had another person and I were unloading a car. He takes her for double parking.
Oh.
And I said, and so I convinced our board to pay her ticket.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I paid her ticket, or she went, we paid her ticket. I forgot how it went out, but it was just that was just concerning. That be a little bit more tolerant of people that are trying to recycle their things.
Mm-hmm.